I want to begin in Revelation 7, 11 to 12. Gives us a view into heaven. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. He is worthy of all blessing. And we join in worship with the heavenly host in proclaiming that He is worthy of all glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, speak to us through Your Word. Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we open Your Word today, I pray that it would pierce us, that You would speak to us. We would be open hearts and open minds to You speaking to us. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Jesus, our hope, our salvation, in whose name I pray. Amen. Well, this is Thanksgiving week, a day that was set aside for our nation to give thanks to God for His blessings. But yet, the numbers who will give thanks to God seem to be decreasing. The numbers of those who want to honor God and to give thanks to God for His blessings seem to be decreasing. But for the Christ follower, every day is a thanksgiving. Every day we honor God with our lives, thankful that He has lifted us up as sons and daughters and rescued us and saved us. This past week, on Wednesday, six of us went to the healing place. And when we go to the healing place, I try to reconnect with some guys that I've met before. I keep notes in my phone. I try to put down their name and something about them so I'll remember them the next time. And I try to meet someone I haven't met before. And I've met some pretty unsavory characters at the healing place. The healing place, if you don't know, it's an addiction recovery center for men. And they take in overnighters in the wintertime when it gets really cold. It really fills up. Men can come in for an evening meal and spend the night in from the cold. And the reason why they do that is they want them to see that, hey, we have a recovery program here that's available for you. Because many who end up on the streets end up that way because of some kind of an addiction. The healing place is under the ministry of Caritas, the umbrella of Caritas. And we just have a healing place for men. Currently, they are working to open one for women. In Raleigh, North Carolina, there's a healing place for men and for women. I meet young guys in there, some barely out of their teens, some in their 70s. Trying to beat addiction. A lot of them say, well, I started drinking when I was 13 or I was 12. One thing led to another. A lot of them come in addicted to strong drugs. Well, this last week I met a man I hadn't met before, and he shared his story with me. Pretty high up in an organization on the East Coast that distributes drugs. He was not a street dealer. I did meet a young kid that was a street dealer. He was a distributor, pretty high up, and some pretty other unsavory. He's been shot. He's shot, has felonies, pimped out women, just all kinds of. These subcultures. These guys live lives that are very foreign to me. That I have only stuff that I see on TV. And here I'm meeting them face to face. I find that there are men there who deep down want to do what's right. They just don't know how. Or they're following in their father's footsteps in a lot of cases. And in this gentleman's case, he wants to get his life straightened out. He wants to honor God with his life. He wants to become a peer mentor so he can help other men escape the addictions that he has not only suffered with, but he has fed. And after spending some time with him, he gave me a hug and just said, "Thank you for talking to me." He said in our conversation, one of my friends in the hospital I went to visit said, "If any low-life, dirty, rotten scoundrel like you can get straightened out, then anybody can. But only God can take a willing heart and transform a life and redeem a life for His purposes and His good." And the healing place is a lot like the church. There are people, there are guys in there just getting started. There are guys that have been in there for a while. Some that are still look a little, well, most of them, if I met them on the street, I'd be afraid. But in there, their hearts have been softened and they become gentle as they look to God for strength. They talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for them. But the Lord has moved many of them to the point where they want to honor Him. And in the same way, the church is filled with broken people. The church is filled with people who don't have it all perfect, but are trying to be better, wanting to be better, wanting to do more to honor the Creator. Well, as we pursue a God-honoring life of thanksgiving, honor the Lord with your wealth. Proverbs 3:9-10, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Now there is a principle in the Old Testament that we find is the principle of the tithe. The first fruits, the first 10%. And we find with Cain and Abel, God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain. Abel brought the fatted from the flocks, perhaps the first 10%, unspotted, that of value. Maybe Cain, who worked the fields, brought some leftover grain that spilled over. There's a principle of blessing upon the tithe that comes through the Old Testament. And actually, it was in place before the law. And God in Malachi, we're told He doesn't change. He doesn't change. From beginning to end, He doesn't change. And there's this principle that brings blessing to overflowing. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and contributions." Someone might say, "Well, I tithe 3% or I tithe 5%. Well, you give 3% or you give 5% because a tithe is literally a tenth. It's an Old Testament principle. In the New Testament, we're taught the principle of grace giving. Now, Leland Patrick is a preacher who talked about a woman in his church who was a faithful tither. She made it her desire to give of a tithe, the 10%. She raised 4 children by herself after her husband had gone. And one particular Sunday said she had $20. That was all she had. And that was the amount she was tithing, $20. Off of her $200 a week income. And that was all that was left. And she knew she had to feed her kids, but I need to be faithful and trust. And she put it in the offering, and that After the service, a gentleman came up to her and said, "Here's the $50 I owe you." She didn't remember somebody owing her $50. And I know there are stories in this room of those who have given and you gave and you didn't think you could and God provided and it's just an unexpected way. In reality, only 2.7% of evangelical Christians tithe. 2.7%. Of the 327 million living in the United States, around 20% attend worship 1 to 2 times a month. That's 65,400,000 people, roughly. And by using the median income, that translates to giving of $400 billion. Now, Dave Ramsey once spoke about how different our country would be if every Christian gave 10%. There would be no more welfare in North America. In 90 days, there would be no existing church or hospital debts. In the next 90 days, the entire world could be evangelized. There would be prayer in schools because Christians would buy all the schools. Now, as I mentioned, the New Testament principle of giving is grace giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Old Testament teaches the principle of the tithe, and God says, "Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven." And there are those who are grace givers, and we're not required. God doesn't want us to give out of compulsion because we're required. He doesn't want us to give by law, but He wants us to give out of grateful hearts, out of thanksgiving, a giving that honors Him. A giving that says, "I am trusting in you as my God and my provider." There are many grace givers that give 20% or more of their annual income because they have followed the principles given in Scriptures and managing their finances, and they so are in love with God and His grace and His church that they are more than double tithers. Because they're not limited by law, and they're giving in faith and in grace, and they have experienced the blessings and the floodgates of heaven pouring out upon them. Honor God with your wealth, and honor the Lord with your lips. Job 2:10, but he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Psalm 63:3, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. A little boy was selling a lawnmower, and a man pulled up and said, "How much for the lawnmower?" The boy gave him the price. He said, "I'll take it. Does it run?" The boy said, "Yes, it runs." He took it home. A few hours later, he came back by there and said, "Son, I thought you said this lawnmower runs." He said, "It does, but you have to cuss at it when you pull the string." He said, "Oh, I can't do that. I'm an elder in my church, and I gave up cussing a long time ago. I don't even know if I know how to do that anymore. So I couldn't possibly do that." The boy looked at him and said, "Well, you go home and you keep pulling on it and it'll come back to you." A man was stopped at a red light. A woman pulled up behind him. He was distracted, reading some papers, writing a couple of notes, and the light turned green and he didn't notice and he was still distracted. And the woman behind him, she started getting frantic. "Come on! Move it! It's green!" Well, it turns yellow, and he hasn't moved, and she starts flipping him off and cussing him out the window and pounding on the steering wheel and yelling at him out the window. And he finally realizes what's going on. He's got his attention, and he pulled through the light just as it was turning red. About that time, a police officer pulled up. "Ma'am, step out of the car," handcuffed her, put her in the back seat. did some investigation, came back, opened the car door, let her out, took off the handcuffs. I'm sorry, it was a mistake, mistaken identity. She said, well, what's this all about? I said, well, ma'am, I noticed the Choose Life license plate, the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, and the ichthus, the sign of the Christian fish on your car, and I knew that this car had to have been stolen. Now, what kind of an image do you portray? You know, whenever you speak badly about someone, you say something about someone, it might even be true, but you say it in a way that to someone else, you're trying to discredit them or make them look bad. That's slander. At best, it's gossip. At worst, it's slander. Whenever you tear somebody down, that doesn't honor God. I was in Home Depot a couple days ago, and there was a man on his phone, speaker phone. I could hear the man on the other line. I could hear this man, and there were some words coming out of both of them that didn't honor God. Words I can't repeat, won't repeat. It honors the Lord when we lift somebody up, when we speak life into someone. I didn't catch all this story. I saw it on my phone, just a brief part of it, or I heard it on the radio for College Sports Day. What is it? Yesterday morning comes on Sports Center. Game Day, College Game Day. That's it. On the Game Day show, they did a story on a football player who, while he was in high school, another student came in with a gun. And this football player intercepted the kid, took the gun away from him. And the kid started crying and said, I didn't want to hurt anybody. I just really wanted to hurt me because nobody cares about me. And the football player looked at him and said, I care about you. And grabbed a hold of him and gave him a big hug. And they did a story on that player calling him a hero. When you speak life into someone, there are so many people discouraged, so many people that are hurting, and they just need someone to say, I love you. It's going to be all right. You know, God loves you, and He's got some big plans for you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for going out of your way. Thank you for being a blessing. We speak life, and that honors God. When we encourage others and we lift others up, and we remove the words that are dishonoring to God, using His name in vain. Now, what kind of a message does your mouth give? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who has your heart? There are so many ways to bring honor to God. Perhaps the greatest is to honor the Lord with your service. John 14:8-10, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has sent me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That comes out of Matthew 25, if you go back to verse 31, it says, the final judgment. Under the context of the final judgment, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another. A shepherd separates the sheep on His right and the goats on his left. Then the king will come to those on his right. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Why are they blessed? They've understood that it means it's so much, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that God has thrown open the floodgates of blessing. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then later, to those on his left, it says, and these will go away into eternal punishment. And in this context, he says, I was thirsty. To those on his right, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I needed a place to stay and you provided me a place to stay. And to those on his left, you didn't do it. And Jesus, who is as if the Father himself is speaking, said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Unto me. So this afternoon, there will be Thanksgiving meals packed. A turkey, all the fixings. It's not going to be cooked. It's not going to be prepared. Well, the pies will be, but that's it. But the rest are going to be delivered to about 100 families. To Jesus, who said, unto me, unto me. This past week, we took 100 one-subject notebooks to Jesus. Unto me, unto me. Perhaps you brought in food items for MSF, for the local food pantry. For today, brought them in. Unto me, unto me. You brought in food for Garden of Grace, the Thanksgiving meals. Unto me. The first Saturday in December, a week from this Saturday, we'll be going to feed homeless with Moments of Hope Outreach. If you want to go, sign up, let me know. Unto me. Unto me. If you take an angel off the angel tree and out in the foyer to buy a gift for a child of an incarcerated parent, unto me. It's unto me, Jesus said. You'll be hearing about the Ronald McDonald House and some items we'll collect for the Ronald McDonald House. Next week you'll hear about that. Unto me. Unto me. We're entering that time next month when we'd like to collect diapers and wipes for baby Jesus. And we give them in January to the Pregnancy Resource Center. Because Jesus said, unto me. Unto me. And you might be thinking, I can't give anymore. I just can't give anymore. I've given for this and that, and you just keep asking for more and more. Listen, you don't have to give for everything. But there's something for everyone to give to. But when we look in Scripture, in Malachi, where it says, test me in this, see if I'll throw open the floodgates. Proverbs, that your vats will be overflowing. The New Testament says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That when you give, God fills it back up. And if you see a benevolent need, if you believe that God would give you every dime of what you gave, how would that change your giving or your decision? If you believed that God would provide every dime and more, how would that affect your decision making? Unto me, he says. Unto me. A small village in Spain. This is a legend. a story that has been passed down that this poor village was announced that the king was coming to visit. They hadn't had a king visit their small little poor village in over 1,000 years. And so they announced that we need to give a gift to the king. Well, they were all winemakers. And they decided, we're going to put a big vat in the town square and everybody bring their finest and we'll dump it into the vat and we'll mix it together and we'll give the king our best of all of us. And so the day came, they walked up a little step and they each dumped their best into the vat. And the king showed up and they gave the king a silver cup. He came over and filled his cup and he took a drink. And it was water. You see, every one of them had the same idea. Oh, I'll just put water in. Nobody will notice. It'll just be diluted in all that wine. Nobody will know. And they all did the same thing. And the king wasn't honored that day by their leftover. Oh, that we would be so thankful for what God has given to us. That we would be His hands and feet in the world. That as we give, trusting, He's going to give it back so we can give more. Then He's going to give it back so we can give even more. As we continually meet needs here and there and be a blessing to others. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us and giving us the greatest gift. Jesus, You are a giving God, and You want us to be a giving people. You want hurt people, struggling people, to be touched by the light of the church, by You, through us. And so, Father, I pray that we would enter into this week with our eyes wide open, with a new appreciation for Your desires for us, that we would honor You, that You would place in our path someone that needs a word of encouragement, someone that needs a blessing, someone that needs help. And I pray that we would step up to the call and meet that need, trusting that You will provide every bit of it. And I thank You in advance for Your work this week in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a decision to make, perhaps to surrender your life to Christ, confess Jesus as Lord, be buried with Him. Romans 6 calls it a burial, raised into new life. Maybe it's to recommit your life to the Lord. Maybe there's a struggle or a burden in your life you need special prayer for. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?